News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. Thanks for tuning in. It's Thursday. The weekend's almost here. I am the host today. My name is Andrew Green. Glad to be with you for today's edition of the program. Our Take is the show where we talk about things you've heard about recently on WSJM News, but in a more in-depth fashion. We have longer conversations with the folks who are in the know or who are making things happen here in Michigan's Great Southwest. And coming up on today's program, we have multiple guests. First of all, we'll talk with Michigan State Police about a program that they're doing next week. They're going to be spreading awareness about human trafficking around Southwest Michigan, actually around several states in the region. We'll learn about that. We'll learn about human trafficking and how you can spot it, why state police want to educate people about this problem. We'll also talk with the Michigan Department of Transportation today about their desire to form more partnerships with local road agencies as well as universities and other entities around the state of Michigan to get construction projects done. They see it as a way to save money. We'll hear about that coming up on today's program. We will also talk with AAA about winter vehicle maintenance, and we'll talk to St. Joseph Today about the next upcoming event in downtown St. Joe. And if you'd like to weigh in on something that we discuss on the show, just send us an email. The address is ourtake at WSJM.com. That's O-U-R-T-A-K-E at WSJM.com. Right now, we'll take a quick break, and when we come back, we will chat with Michigan State Police about human trafficking and how they're trying to fight it. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Oh, yay. Oh, yay. Oh, yay.
We are excited to announce something new to the very popular app Town Crier Wire. Introducing Video News Wire. Now, not only can you read local stories that matter to you, you can now watch the top stories happening in Southwest Michigan. Our team of reporters hit the streets with video recording equipment. So when the big news happens, they are there to ask the questions and video record the events and upload them to the app. Then you can watch and see it for yourself.
Oh, yay. Oh, yay. Oh, yay.
Video News Wire is a tab you'll find on the home screen inside the app. Click the tab and you'll see all of the video news stories available for you to watch at your convenience. This is unique to Southwest Michigan. There is nothing else like it. If you don't have the app yet, go to your mobile download store, type in Town Crier Wire, and press install. It's that easy. And again, it's free.
Oh yay, oh yay, oh yay. There's a new way to read and see your local news today. Just pick up your phone or your tablet too. Go to your store. It's easy to do.
Town Crier Wire?
Town Crier Wire.
Town Crier Wire.
News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. Thanks for tuning in to this Thursday edition of the show. Right now, I wanted to tell you about something that happened yesterday in Lansing. Something interesting happened in the state legislature, and it's something that has not happened in the past several years. State lawmakers yesterday, the legislature, they decided to override a veto from Governor Rick Snyder. They shot down Snyder in his position on a particular issue. This issue was a tax break that the legislature had approved for the purchasers of vehicles. So the bills that Snyder vetoed last year were about cutting the sales tax for people who trade in a car for a new vehicle. State House Speaker Tom Leonard spoke with Michigan News Network about this action yesterday. He says the legislature had to override Snyder's veto.
I just think it's the right tax policy. I believe that our citizens deserve some tax relief. But moreover, I've never understood this gimmick of double and triple taxation on vehicles.
Governor Snyder, though, not happy they did that. He said yesterday, quote, changing the tax code without a plan to pay for it challenges the conservative fiscal responsibility of the past 7 years. That doesn't matter to the legislature, though. Michigan House Speaker Tom Leonard said lawmakers felt they needed to override that veto on these bills regarding the sales taxes on trade-in vehicles.
I believed in the policy from day one. I've been very clear since the day the governor vetoed it that if the Senate sent it over here, that we would we'd roll and we'd override his veto. And that's what we did.
Okay, so this tax break, what it is lawmakers, they sped up a law that allows those who purchase a car subtract the value of their trade-in from the sales price of a new one for tax reasons. So the state legislature shot down the governor on this one yesterday, and that's not all they did. They voted to restore the personal exemption for the state tax. That's in response to the federal tax reform recently approved. And then they tacked on an additional $800. That's more than what Governor Rick Snyder wanted. Here's State Senator Jack Brandenburg.
I don't think we've had any meaningful tax relief for in over 20 years. I think it's about time we send some of the money back home.
So Governor Snyder criticized our state lawmakers yesterday for changing the tax code without a plan to pay for it. He said it will leave a fiscal problem for the next governor and the next legislature. Who cares about that? They got to look good temporarily. Kalamazoo Democrat John Hoadley, he's on the Appropriations Committee, actually agreed with the governor.
It is fiscally irresponsible to be giving away the farm because everybody's got election year fever.
The State House is now expected to take up its own version of that Senate legislation. A couple of tax changes approved by Michigan lawmakers yesterday. The governor not entirely happy with them. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. Right now, I thought we'd check in with Michigan State Police. Next week, they are going to be out and about, going all over not only Southwest Michigan, but actually they're doing this in Ohio. They're doing it in Indiana. They're doing it in Illinois. State police agencies from all over the region are going to be trying to spread awareness about human trafficking next week. I chatted with Michigan State Police Sergeant Paul Leonard out of the Paw Paw Post about what's going on next week. So let's hear that conversation now. Okay, so Sergeant Leonard. So Michigan State Police, the Motor Carrier Division, of which you're a part, you're going to be working next week to talk about human trafficking in multiple states. Tell us more about what's going on.
Correct. Next week, from January 22nd through the 26th, MSP Motor Carrier Officers were working a joint operation with the Ohio State Highway Patrol, the Illinois State Police, and the Indiana State Police, along with the organization Truckers Against Trafficking, TAT. What we're doing is we're, on our traffic stops that we conduct, we are educating motorists about the signs of human trafficking and to enforce laws that crack down on traffickers. Basically, what it is, the goal of the week long multi-state operation is to raise awareness and educate those individuals in positions to observe human trafficking taking place, such as commercial motor vehicle drivers, public transportation companies, rest area attendants, truck stop employees. Those are the people that are going to have the most contact or be in areas where human trafficking is more likely to take place.
Okay, and so these are the people most likely to see examples of human trafficking, truckers and so forth?
Commercial motor vehicle drivers. So when our motor carrier officers make a traffic stop, and if it's an interstate driver, which means a driver that drives across multiple states, what we're doing is we're handing out cards, contact cards. Make the Call, Save Lives, TAT contact cards. So basically, what it is just a little card that that gives what red flags to look for. Basically, if a truck driver is stopping at a truck stop, and they're going to be spending the night, it just gives the information on what to look for if there's possible human trafficking going on.
So, can you tell us what some of the red flags are?
Some of the red flags is if the individual has lack of knowledge of their community or whereabouts. If they're not in control of their own identification, usually they won't be in control or they won't have any ID on them. If they're restricted or their communication is controlled or not allowed to speak for themselves if there's somebody else there with them. Mm-hmm. Their demeanor, if they fear, anxiety, depression, if they're nervous, submission, submissive, or tense. Some of the questions that need to be asked is, are you being paid? Are you being watched or followed? Are you free to leave, come and go as you please? Those are some red flags if they're not able to do that.
Okay.
So are you physically or sexually abused? Are you or your family threatened? Some of those questions are some questions that need to be asked to the individual.
Okay, and so that's why the Michigan State Police Motor Carrier Division is focusing on rest stops and so forth next week. Truckers may run into these sort of situations and see these sorts of things.
Correct. Usually young boys or girls, over-the-road truck driver, that spends the night at a truck stop, can encounter someone knocking on the door and ask them if they need company, basically, is what it is.
Okay, yeah, I have heard that from people I've known who are truck drivers. So, Motor Carrier Division next week, you're focused primarily on commercial vehicles, semis. You're not going to be just pulling over regular vehicles, correct?
Correct. Yeah. The bulk of our traffic stops are commercial vehicles, commercial motor vehicles that travel through the state. We do take enforcement action on cars only in the instance where, you know, if we suspect that they're drunk, then we'll take enforcement action on that. But commercial motor vehicle enforcement officers generally stick to commercial vehicle enforcement and commercial vehicle traffic.
And this awareness effort is taking place across multiple states.
Correct. It'd be Ohio, Illinois, and Indiana will be participating in the project.
In recent years, there has been a sort of increased awareness, focus on human trafficking. Do you sense that these extra efforts have made a difference?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, you can go to the Truckers Against Trafficking website, and there's all kinds of rescue stories and stuff like that online. So, yeah, I mean, you do hear that there is some good news that comes from this. So, you know, Michigan's been doing this since 2015, and we've been participating in this. You know, every January we'll participate in this. So, you know, we've been recognized as one of the top leaders now, taking action every year against this.
Okay, we've been talking with Michigan State Police Sergeant Paul Leonard about an effort next week to educate truckers and other folks who work at places like rest stops and so forth about how to spot human trafficking. Is there anything else that you'd like to add?
The only thing I can add is I can just tell you that when it's snowing and the visibility is reduced, please slow down on the highways. That is a big major thing that we're trying to get across now.
All right. Well, tell me about it. I've been avoiding the highway entirely lately when it's snowing because people just don't slow down.
It's so bad on the highway now, especially, you know, with the last couple of weeks where we've had just tremendous amount of snow. It's just that, you know, you could be standing on the side of the highway helping someone out and just watch somebody else go in the ditch or just watch somebody else fly by you. And then, you know, a mile or two up the road, they'll be sitting in the ditch. That's the only thing I can just reiterate, just slow down on the highway when the weather is bad.
Okay, that was Michigan State Police Sergeant Paul Leonard from the Paw Paw Post. We talked about next week's effort to spread awareness about human trafficking, and then we ended there by just reminding state police wanted to send out a friendly reminder to everyone when it's snowing and when there's ice in the road, you should probably slow down, especially if you're on the highway. Remember, your vehicle is solid, and it can collide with other solid objects. Good advice. And something good to remember when you're on the highway. But next week, state police educating everyone about human trafficking. Oftentimes, it involves somebody forced into prostitution. Oftentimes, it's somebody young. So they're going around. It's not just Michigan State Police. It's Ohio State Police, Illinois State Police, Indiana State Police, whatever their state police agencies are called in those other states. They're all going to be focusing on commercial vehicles to spread awareness and also provide information for how people can report suspicious situations. That's what's happening next week all over the region. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. Right now it's time for a quick break. When we come back, we will learn about a Michigan Department of Transportation project recently that the MDOT is pointing to as an example of how the agency can partner with other agencies to reduce costs for construction. And then we'll talk with AAA. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. Stick around. We'll be right back. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is the Hour Take. I'm the host today. My name is Andrew Green. Glad to be with you. Right now for this segment of the show, I thought we would chat with the Michigan Department of Transportation. Recently, they sent out notice. They sent me notice. They wanted to talk about a project that they did. It's a bridge project in St. Clair County. St. Clair County is way on the other side of the state, but that doesn't matter. MDOT says this project in St. Clair County is an example of how the agency could team up with local road agencies and others to make road projects more efficient in the future. So what happened in this case was MDOT worked with the St. Clair County Road Commission and the University of Michigan to use a sort of newfangled experimental sort of concrete on this bridge project to ensure that the bridge repairs would last longer. It's a high-performance concrete used for joints on the bridges. U of M supplied this material. St. Clair County Road Commission contacted MDOT asking for help with it, and they all worked together, and that made for a very easy project for one and all. So I chatted with Michigan Department's Bureau of Bridges and Structures Manager Jason DeRoyer all about this to learn a little more about how MDOT wants to apply these principles statewide. Let's hear that conversation now. Okay, so recently, Jason, MDOT put out word about this project in which you teamed up with the St. Clair County Road Commission as well as the University of Michigan to do some bridge repairs, and you wanted to sort of publicize this project. Why did you want to get word out about how this project unfolded?
We put out the press report because we were trying to do outreach to local agencies to educate them on the value of bridge maintenance, and we're also trying to partner with them on some experimental bridge maintenance projects.
Okay, so when you're pointing to this recent work that you did in St. Clair County repairing a bridge, tell us how that project unfolded exactly.
Well, I've been developing a relationship with St. Clair County for about 3 years now, and so they frequently give me a call, and they'll say, hey, what do you think about this problem we have on this bridge, and how would you go about, you know, fixing it? And I will, on this specific project, I saw it as an opportunity to try this ultra-high-performance concrete that we've been experimenting with.
So you used the new high-performance concrete supplied by the University of Michigan. What makes this material better than what you would normally use?
This is just, it's stronger, it bonds better. It can move a little more, I believe. So when we're using it at the joints we were using it at, it'll just be a more durable concrete than standard concrete.
Was this material developed by U of M?
I don't know who developed it. U of M is helping us come up with a non-proprietary ultra-high-performance concrete mix as part of a research project we have with them.
So bringing in the U of M and working with the Road Commission on this project, is this a new sort of thing for MDOT that you wanted to get out there so other road commissions know about it?
This is probably a unique project that we did. It was because it involved MDOT, St. Clair County, University of Michigan, and St. Clair County's contractor.
And now you've made yourself available for other road commissions to consult.
Yes, I've reached out to all of the road commissions and all of the cities and villages and townships that own bridges in the state of Michigan. Earlier, in I think it was September, I was down in St. Joe County on your side of the state working with them on a project. They had a timber bridge that needed some repair, and they were thinking of an option of replacement, but I was able to educate them on a repair that I developed a few years ago. And I was able to save the bridge for them for less money.
All right, that was Jason DeRoyer with the Michigan Department of Transportation. He's a bridge engineer telling us about this work that they wanted to make road commissions aware of around the state. They partnered with St. Clair County Road Commission and U of M to use a new sort of high-performance concrete on a bridge repair, and that basically reduced costs for everyone and ensured it's a long-term durability. Things like this go on all over the state we don't normally hear about, but that's one way in which our state road agency and your local road agency is trying to work together to save some money, save some taxpayer dollars. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. Right now I wanted to tell you about something that our state lawmakers have been working on. We've heard about this a couple of times on the show previously. A state house task force was put together to discuss mental health policy around the state of Michigan, and they met throughout the summer traveling all over the state of Michigan. Some members of the House, and two members of this task force are from Southwest Michigan. State Representative Dave Pagel of Berrien Springs served on what's being called the CARES Task Force, and State Representative Mary Whiteford from Casco Township, that's up by South Haven, she was on the CARES Task Force as well. And they talked with doctors, with law enforcement, with local officials about how those who are struggling with mental illness could be better served by the state of Michigan. They looked at it from a variety of perspectives, everything from corrections up to community health. And so this task force traveled around and they drafted a report. Yesterday, this report was released to the State House leadership, And so State Representative Mary Whiteford of Casco Township, which is Allegan, Van Buren County, South Haven area, she told us a bit about why she wanted to be on this task force.
I've got a lot of experience in mental health issues, from being a nurse in a children's hospital to family to being on my local community mental health board and representing my county at the regional level as well.
So there you go. She served on the CARES Task Force. What that stands for is Community Access Resources, Education, and Safety. The panel held over a dozen public meetings and site visits across Michigan from July until October of 2017. State Rep. Mary Whiteford told us one of the things that she wants to see come out of this is the creation of a statewide hotline that people could call that could direct families to assistance in times of crisis.
We put all these things together and have a way so somebody can call and find their local resources. If we start utilizing more of our local resources, it may make it more sustainable. So more people will want to get into the profession and have more psychiatrists, more psychologists, more people out there to help our people.
Because Representative Mary Whiteford says a lot of people, when they try to seek out help, they don't find the resources that are, in fact, available to them.
What I found is sometimes we may only have one chance to say yes. So mom will call and say, my child's in a crisis. Where do I go? What happens right now, they'll say, hey, you know, we can't help you. Or call a doctor's office. You call the psychiatric office and you can't get in for 4 to 6 months. So they say, then go to the emergency room.
And going to the emergency room is, of course, not something you should necessarily have to do. So the State House could vote to create a hotline. They're going to review this report. The leadership is examining it right now. We posted a link to the report at WSJM.com if you want to see what they came up with. State Representative Dave Pagel of Orinoco Township, also on this panel, he put out a reaction yesterday. He said, quote, "This is an opportunity to address an issue that touches virtually every person across our state. Our mission was addressing a problem that is not a one-size-fits-all, as it can affect a family member, neighbor, who is a veteran with post-traumatic stress disorder, or a friend with severe addiction issues. We heard a lot of organizations and individuals, so now it's up to us to develop policy and legislation that will help Michigan as a whole." That's what State Rep. Pagel had to say about that. So he is the chair of the House Appropriations Subcommittee on Corrections, so in particular, Rep. Pagel was looking at that. How inmates with mental health issues require significant financial resources. The State House is hoping to address this in the year ahead, and we'll keep you informed as to what they come up with moving forward. News Talk 94.9 WSJM, this is Our Take, and right now we will take a break. When we come back, we will chat with St. Joseph Today about an upcoming event in downtown St. Joe, one of the many things you can go check out on a weekend to have some fun in the area. And if you'd like to weigh in on something that we've discussed, just send us an email. The address is ourtake@wsjm.com. That's O-U-R-T-A-K-E at wsjm.com. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Oh, yay. Oh, yay. Oh, yay.
We are excited to announce something new to the very popular app Town Crier Wire. Introducing Video News Wire. Now, not only can you read local stories that matter to you, you can now watch the top stories happening in Southwest Michigan. Our team of reporters hit the streets with video recording equipment, so when the big news happens, they are there to ask the questions and video record the events and upload them to the app. Then you can watch and see it for yourself.
Oh, yay. Oh, yay. Oh, yay.
Video News Wire is a tab you'll find on the home screen inside the app. Click the tab and you'll see all of the video news stories available for you to watch at your convenience. This is unique to Southwest Michigan. There is nothing else like it. If you don't have the app yet, go to your mobile download store, type in Town Crier Wire, and press install. It's that easy. And again, it's free.
Oh yay, oh yay, oh yay. There's a new way to read and see your local news today. Just pick up your phone or your tablet too. Go to your store. It's easy to do.
Town Crier Wire?
Town Crier Wire.
Town Crier Wire.
News Talk 94.9 WSJM. You're listening to Our Take, Thursday edition of the program. I'm the host today. My name is Andrew Green. Glad to be with you. This is, of course, the show where we have longer conversations about things you may have heard about as of late on WSJM News. We get to chat with folks who are in the know or who are making things happen here in Michigan's great Southwest. So far in today's program, We learned about what state lawmakers did yesterday to defy Governor Rick Snyder. They overrode one of his vetoes and approved a tax break for vehicle purchases. We learned about that on today's show. We also talked about what Michigan State Police will be doing next week, spreading awareness about human trafficking. State police and agencies in several states in this region, that includes Indiana, Ohio, Illinois, Michigan, they're all going to be working with commercial vehicle drivers to inform them how they can spot cases of human trafficking and report them. Also on today's program, we learned about a Michigan Department of Transportation initiative to work with local road agencies on construction projects moving forward so that some money can be saved. And we also heard about the State House Mental Health Task Force report, which was issued yesterday. Right now, for this final segment of the show, I thought we'd check in with St. Joseph today. That's because tickets are now on sale for the St. Joseph Winter Beer Festival. That takes place January 27th. Those tickets, you can get them now. And several local breweries will be letting people sample their products in downtown St. Joe. I talked with St. Joe today's Daniel Crevier about this, so let's hear that conversation now. All right, Danielle. So, tickets on sale for the Winter Beer Festival in downtown St. Joe. First of all, just tell us a bit about what this festival is and what will be going on down there in downtown.
Yeah, so we're really excited. It's our third annual St. Joe Winter Beer Fest. It's outdoors, so you got to bundle up. But craft beer enthusiasts get to enjoy great sampling from local and regional Michigan breweries.
So give us an idea of which breweries will be on hand.
Oh, yeah, for sure. We've got 16 breweries coming this year. So we've got, you know, anything from like Arclight, we've got North Pier, we've got Round Barn, Sister Lakes Brewing, Silver Harbor, you know, some of the locals. We've also introducing four new guys this year. So we're going to do Black Dragon Meadery, Grand Armory Brewing out of Grand Haven, Old Nation. But we've got a couple new guys. We've got, you know, 16 in total. So we're just really excited for a great, great year again.
All right, great. And, you know, this is, you said this is the third one, so I take it it's been a success the past couple of years?
It has. The last 2 years we've sold out, so we really suggest, you know, buying tickets early. Of course, if we do have any left, they will be sold at the door. You got to be 21 or over, but it's $35 for a ticket. You get 12 tokens, which is 12 samples, and then you get, you know, entrance into the event itself and just a lot of a good time.
All right, so why hold a beer festival in downtown St. Joe? Is it just because of the to celebrate the growing beer industry here?
Yeah, that and just, you know, something to give something to people to do around here, kind of get you out of the out of your winter hibernation, kind of outdoors, you know. Definitely can't be too sleepy when you're outside in the cold weather. So we just kind of want to bring everyone out, give them something fun to do, bring them to the great downtown.
Okay, and the beer festival is held downtown, outdoors in downtown St. Joe. So tell us exactly where it'll be.
So it's actually in the two parking lots behind Jimmy John's. So it's in the ones on the corner of Broad and Lake Boulevard.
Okay.
Yeah. Great. Yeah, and we've grown it every year, so we're really excited. Last year we had 750, so then we increased it a little bit this year to 850. We're just, yeah, just really excited, and it sells out so quickly.
Okay, and I know the Beer Fest in downtown St. Joe will feature some music. What are other attractions can you check out if you go there?
It's also going to be the first year that we're going to do a food truck, so we're excited about that as well. Mm. And then, of course, it's presented by the Buck Burgers and Brew. We've got in the Southwest Michigan Brew Tours. If you haven't heard of them, check them out as well. They're one of our sponsors, and KitchenAid, the senior PGA. Yeah.
All right. So there's tickets available now for the Beer Fest. Where can you get them?
Yeah, sure. You can buy them online through the Mendel Center box office, or you can buy them in person or over the phone through their box office as well. You can also stop in the Welcome Center. We have a limited number available here. We're located at 301 State Street. You can pick them up here Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, and Saturday, 10 to 5.
Okay, that's at the Welcome Center?
At the Welcome Center, yep. And if you visit our website at stjoetoday.com, it's got all of this information. It's got where to purchase the tickets. It's got a Beer Fest FAQ. It's got links to all the breweries that will be there. Pretty much anything that you could want to know is there.
Great, great. Well, you know, I know beer making is fast growing in this region, so it seems like St. Joe today has gotten on top of it.
Yeah, we're really excited to embrace this. It's a well-loved industry, and we love supporting our members and, you know, just bringing people downtown. It's just a really great thing to do in the winter.
Okay, that was Daniel Crevier with St. Joe Today telling us about the upcoming St. Joseph Winter Beer Festival. It's January 27th. Tickets limited So bear that in mind if you would like to attend. It's the third year for the Winter Beer Fest. I'll have 16 breweries on hand, as well as some other attractions to check out. It's in the parking lots right behind Jimmy John's over there downtown. You can get tickets at the St. Joe Welcome Center or the MendelCenter.com. Newstalk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take, and I've got one more thing to tell you about today, and that is what happened yesterday at Lake Michigan College. Martin Luther King Day was this week. It was Monday, and all week long, Lake Michigan College has been celebrating the spirit of Dr. Martin Luther King. And one of the things they did yesterday was they held a privilege walk. This was a sort of interesting attraction. It wasn't quite what I expected. What happened was students and others, they were all welcome to gather at the gym at LMC in Benton Township. And LMC diversity consultant Danny Sledge kind of lined everyone up. And then what he would do is he would read off a list of different sort of circumstances you might be facing in life, whatever it could be, something that's beyond your control. For example, he'd say, if your parents went to college, take two steps forward. Or he might say, if you grew up with at least 20 books in your home, take another step forward. And then there were other things that would cause you to take a step back. And by the time the whole thing was over, everybody was spread out all over the place throughout the gym based on all these characteristics that LMC diversity consultant Danny Sledge wrote out that are characteristics beyond an individual's control. He had a point there, and he told us a little bit more about it.
I really felt as if it demonstrated in a very clear and visual way that while we may all think we start at the same place, that things that occur in our lives that we have no control over actually do have an impact on where we may end up in life.
So I've heard a lot of discussions. I see it online anyway, people talking about check your privilege and all this stuff. I never really understood what they were talking about until yesterday when the point was illustrated with the privilege walk at Lake Michigan College. On hand taking part was LMC Vice President of Administrative Services, Ann Erdman. She took part in the walk, and she told us she was warned she might be surprised by the outcome, the way that all these uncontrollable circumstances could affect where you wind up in life. And she told us when she was warned about it, they were right.
And that was the reaction I had. I had honestly thought that as a white female that's in an administrative role, I would end up being quite at the front, and ended up finding that I was in the middle towards the back of the pack.
We also talked with just regular individuals who showed up to take part in the privilege walk. One of them was Jackie Blackwell of Bridgman. She's a friend. She told us why she wanted to be there for it.
There's a lot of disparity and inequality with all walks of people. And I think there's a certain awareness that needs to be brought to light. This exercise particularly did that.
So that exercise yesterday just illustrated for everyone what is meant when someone talks about privilege. And it's just one of many activities held at the LMC Benton Township campus this week for Martin Luther King Day. Today is the big Race Relations Council discussion. Actually, it was today. They had the Race Relations Council talk today, and that pretty much wraps up the Martin Luther King events at Lake Michigan College for the week. It all started off with a breakfast and award ceremony on Monday, and then Tuesday they screened the film Detroit, which was a Catherine Bigelow movie from last year about the riots in Detroit back in the 60s. And then yesterday we had the privilege walk. It's been a busy week at Lake Michigan College. Newstalk 94.9 WSJM. That does it for today's edition of Our Take. I've been your host today. My name is Andrew Green. Thanks for tuning in. As always, if you'd like to weigh in on something that we've discussed, just send us an email. The address is ourtake@wsjm.com. That is O-U-R-T-A-K-E. @wsjm.com. Coming up on tomorrow's show, we'll talk with the Berrien County Health Department about the flu. We should be back same time, same station tomorrow. In the meantime, have a fantastic rest of your day.
Oh yay, oh yay, oh yay!
We are excited to announce something new to the very popular app Town Crier Wire. Introducing Video Newswire. Now, not only can you read local stories that matter to you, you can now watch the top stories happening in Southwest Michigan. Our team of reporters hit the streets with video recording equipment, so when the big news happens, they are there to ask the questions and video record the events and upload them to the app. Then you can watch and see it for yourself.
Oh yay, oh yay, oh yay!
Video Newswire is a tab you'll find on the home home screen inside the app. Click the tab and you'll see all of the video news stories available for you to watch at your convenience. This is unique to Southwest Michigan. There's nothing else like it. If you don't have the app yet, go to your mobile download store, type in Town Crier Wire, and press install. It's that easy. And again, it's free.
Oh yay, oh yay, oh yay. There's a new way to read and see your local news today. Just pick up your phone or your tablet too. Go to your store. It's easy to do.
Town Crier Wire?
Town Crier Wire.
Town Crier Wire.